storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbying. As long as you love me so, let it snow. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News.
It's Morning Edition on WIOL. I'm Jeff Bossert, and we will stick with AM 580 with no markets. This morning, just ahead, there's a new movement to get professional poker players to give a share of their winnings to charity. But most charities don't make the cut. NPR's Planet Money team explains why. A morning of classical music begins right now on FM 90.9. There's a winter weather advisory in effect from 9 till 9 today. Rain this morning. And snow, accumulation of 1 to 2 inches, colder conditions, and a high in the upper 30s. Temperatures falling in the afternoon, wind gusts up to 30 miles an hour. Tonight, cloudy skies, a chance of snow, the low around 30. That snow, 50% chance of snow. Partly sunny for Christmas Day, a high around 40. Partly cloudy tomorrow night with a low of 32. Right now we have 39 degrees in Danville. 39 in Decatur, it's 38 on Friends Plaza.
...2014 has been another fantastic year for WIOL. We have delivered to you, our audience, outstanding local and national programs. Quality programs and services come at a cost. We seek to start 2015 on strong financial footing so we can continue to share the best that public radio has to offer. Our goal is to raise over $1 million by December 31st. Please help us to get there with your year-end gift. Call 217-244-9455 or go to willpledge.org.
Morning Edition continues. It's 8:51.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm David Green. Here is the final moment from this year's World Series of Poker in Las Vegas.
And the king will finish it. Martin Jacobson is poker's 2014 world champion.
That's a broadcast from ESPN, and you can see the poker champ, Martin Jacobson, beard, thick-rimmed glasses, plain black shirt, and one unusual detail, a patch on Jacobson's left sleeve with three big letters, R-E-G. That patch was Jacobson's promise to donate hundreds of thousands of dollars of his winnings to charity, but not just any charity. Jacob Goldstein from our Planet Money team explains.
The story of that patch starts a long way from a Vegas poker table.
My name's Adriano Menino. I'm a philosopher from Switzerland.
Menino studies ethics. He's a proponent of what's called effective giving, the idea that people in the rich world should give away a chunk of their income to the charities that do the most to reduce suffering. When Menino started pitching this idea to the public, he had a problem. When you say some charities are especially effective, you are also saying that other charities are less effective. Essentially, you're ranking charities. You're saying some are better, some are worse. And for lots of people, that sounds cold-hearted. Isn't any kind of charitable work good?
Some newspaper articles were critical of this idea of ranking and said, you know, no, we should sort of uniformly praise all altruist efforts.
Menino disagreed. He wanted to find people in the real world who would actually give away money based on rankings. So he needed to find people who had money, who were a little bit cold-hearted, and who understood ranking, who understood that, say, three of a kind always beats two pair.
I'm in Las Vegas, and I'm out here for a few poker tournaments.
This is Liv Bury, a professional poker player whose winnings include a $1.6 million prize a few years back. A while after she won that prize, Bury and a few of her fellow poker pros started chatting at tournaments. It seemed like they were living the dream, and yet they kept asking themselves,
what are we really contributing to the world? We're just going to be known as, oh, that person that's really good at this game and made some money for themselves, and that's it.
Through mutual friends, she got hooked up with Menino, actually went to Switzerland, had dinner with him.
They completely sold me. I was like, of course, like, that's what we should be doing.
So Earlier this year, the poker player and the philosopher, along with a few other people, launched Raising for Effective Giving. And a bunch of poker players put that REG patch on their sleeve. Reg lists a handful of charities it deems especially effective. One key criterion, how much money it takes for a charity to save one life. The list includes charities that provide deworming medicine and that give out bed nets to reduce the risk of malaria. The list does not include the biggest, most well-known charities. And Livebury is fine with that.
When people go, oh, well, it's not fair to say, you know, we can't apply effectiveness to lives. You can't apply mathematics to lives. Well, yeah, actually, yes, you can. The whole world is governed by mathematics. And you can either use it to your advantage to help people, or you can ignore it and stick your head in the sand and make bad decisions.
The poker players who wear the reg patch promise to donate at least 2% of their winnings. Bari says since founding reg earlier this year, she personally has not had poker winnings to give away. It's been a rough few months at the poker table. Jacob Goldstein, NPR News.
On this Christmas Eve, commentator Frank DeFord recalls a year when he had trouble spreading Christmas cheer.
Several years ago, I wrote a sports Christmas story. It was about a greedy basketball superstar who, imbued with Yuletide cheer, helped save his small market franchise. A big-time producer wanted to make a TV movie out of it, so off I went to Hollywood to turn my story into a script and thereby, in keeping with the Christmas spirit, make a killing. Let me tell you, it's hard to write a Christmas story about sport. After all, the idea of sports is to beat the other fella, while the idea of Christmas is to be giving. That's a pretty direct conflict, hard to reconcile. Of course, there is one famous true Christmas sports story that took place exactly a century ago when on the front lines of the Great War, German and British troops managed an unofficial truce and played soccer against each other there in no man's land, Christmas of 1914. It's a lovely vision, but of course, within a day or two, the friendly football boys were back in their trenches, back to killing one another. As I said, it's hard to write a Christmas story about sport. Of course, it's long been common in some quarters to complain that it's time to put Christ back into Christmas. Here in the U.S., however, the holiday is forever commercial, and just like every other enterprise, sports takes full advantage. The NBA in particular will be ubiquitous tomorrow, only less so than Santa himself. Certainly, never mind Christians, no one of any background can fail to be touched by that sweet first Christmas scene, the baby just born in a stable in the arms of his new parents with animals and shepherds peering in, a bright star shining above. But after all, Jesus was a newborn babe, and however much he accomplished when he was a grown man, it wasn't Christ but the adults around him who set the tone for Christmas. Most prominently, soon enough, here came rich men bearing expensive gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh, no less than the NBA will be giving us Duncan and LeBron James and Curry. Oh, well, it's better than in Philadelphia, where at an Eagles game, the patrons hurled snowballs at Santa Claus. Didn't I tell you it was hard to write a sports Christmas story? And so there I was in Hollywood trying my best, but the producer and I just couldn't accept how I tried to make my story into his film. Let's just say that here we were trying to conjure up the Christmas spirit, and the Christmas spirit fled the room. And in the Great War, where the boys had played that legendary Christmas soccer match against one another a century ago, well, the killing lasted another 4 years, and by then, all the sport had long since gone out of it.
You can hear the comments of Frank DeFord on the program every Wednesday. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm David Green.
It's Morning Edition on WIOL. This has been Morning Edition on WIOL. We'll stick with the program for one more hour on this Christmas Eve. In the forecast, we have a winter weather advisory now in effect until 9 tonight. Rain this morning, possibly mixed with rain this afternoon. We have a snow accumulation of 1 to 2 inches, a high of 38 degrees. Temperatures falling in the afternoon, wind gusts up to 30 miles an hour. Cloudy skies tonight, a chance of snow, the low around 30. Partly sunny skies tomorrow, the high around 40 degrees. Partly cloudy tomorrow night with a low of 32 and wind gusts up to 25 miles an hour. Blustery conditions Friday, partly sunny, a high in the mid-40s. Mostly cloudy Friday night with a slight chance of rain, the low 35. We have 36 in Decatur with rain, 39 in Danville. It's 38 degrees on Friends Plaza. This is Illinois Public Media, WILL AM 580 and WILL FM 90.9 HD3, Urbana.
Good morning. The U.S. economy is growing at an impressive rate. Stocks are up, unemployment's down, but the big question for 2015 is whether all this gives consumers and businesses the confidence to spend. It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm David Green, and we're reporting this hour on a treatment for hepatitis C that is really expensive. It's a big problem in a place where many people with the disease live, prison. Also, a treatment that can make you a happier person. It's called being generous to others. The song Christmas Wrapping was not supposed to be a hit. We'll tear open the backstory. And we will visit a small town where a postmark with a red-nosed reindeer is coveted, Rudolph, Wisconsin. It's Wednesday, December 24th, celebrating another year of Livin' La Vida Loca. Ricky Martin turns 43 years old today. And the news is next.